Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus withdrew in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they might go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowd to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. The Gospel of the Lord.
May God bless the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart.
Amen.
The story is told of a boy that came home from Sunday school one day, and he would always go to church with his mom. And this particular Sunday, the dad thought, you know, I'm going to find out what my son is learning in Sunday school. So he asked, "Son, what'd you learn about in Sunday school today?" And he said, "Well, we learned that there was this guy named Moses, and there was this operation, and they had to get across this river, and so he got on his walkie-talkie, and he called for air support, and the air support, the Israeli Air Force attacked the terrorists, and then they had a pontoon boat and a pontoon bridge that went across the sea, and all the Israelis got across the bridge, and finally the father stops and, whoa, wait a second, you learned this in Sunday school?" And the kid said, "No, they didn't share it that way, but I knew you wouldn't believe what really happened." I think this is one of those stories that people have tried to explain away. I think a miracle happened. I think Jesus produced a bunch of food here. Loaf after loaf, fish after fish. And some have tried to explain it away that, oh, maybe everybody was feeling generous, and so they took out of their bag. And certainly that's a wonderful thought, too. There's nothing wrong with that necessarily. But I don't want to take the miracle away. In fact, I think in many ways this passage is a little bit of a fulfillment of the Hebrew scriptures talking about the manna that came down from heaven. There's no explaining that one away. That was a miracle. God provided this bread from heaven for the people to sustain them. And now we see that Jesus is feeding 10,000 or 12,000. It says 5,000 men plus women and children. There were a lot of people here. And here is Jesus once again providing, I think fulfilling this Old Testament, and then probably foreshadowing how he would provide later on. We'll come back to that. So this is a really beautiful miracle. And you can understand the situation that the disciples are in. Here is Jesus. He's very nonchalant about the situation. He says, "Oh, yeah, we've got a lot of people." And they said, "Yeah, send them away. They need to go to Arby's and get lunch or something because we don't have enough to feed them." And he says, "No, you feed them."
Amen.
And, you know, can you imagine a church picnic? You know, you go to the fridge for the church picnic. The day of the picnic has come. You forgot to put the sign-up list for bringing meals like Paul has done for the pastor and potluck. and nobody signs up, and you go to the fridge, and there's just a couple bags of rolls and an old casserole and half a bowl of potato salad for the entire picnic. We can understand how these disciples are feeling. But Jesus does something great here. He provides in this incredible way. I wish I could have seen it. I don't know what that looked like. Here he was breaking bread, and he keeps filling these baskets, and the disciples go up, and they think, oh, this must be the last. Wait a second. Now there's another bath. There's more fish here, too. Boy, that kid's lunch is incredible, you know. They just keep taking more and more baskets. And I think there's some beautiful lessons, not only for those that were there, but for you and me today. Amen. You know, this is an interesting passage because it is the only miracle other than the resurrection that is mentioned, that's a public miracle, that's mentioned in all four of the Gospels. So it's very important, I think, because God decided to include all of these camera angles. Now, just so you understand, the reason we have four Gospels is they are different camera angles to help us know Jesus better. Have you ever watched the news at night? ABC News, local news, they always have one, Fox News and NBC. There can be the same accident, and each of those news reporters reports something different. So, for example, if it was an accident that involved five cars and two people were injured, the headline on one news is, one news show will be, oh, there was a five-car accident on the interstate. Another channel will say, oh, two people were injured, and they might not even say how many cars were involved. Another news station will say, oh, this is the fifth accident this month. This is a problem at this particular part of the interstate. Which one of those reports was right? The truth is, yeah, all of them are right. They're just different camera angles to help us understand what happened. And that's exactly what the Gospels are. They're these beautiful camera angles so that we can see different sides of Jesus. In one of the stories, we find the boy is the one that brings lunch. Matthew doesn't happen to mention that in this particular passage. But what is interesting is he tells them to sit in the green grass, which is really interesting. But another thing about this particular camera angle that I need to bring your attention to that really spoke to me was something that the lectionary left out. In this particular passage, John chapter 14, and this passage starts with these words, and the lectionary left it out. When Jesus heard this, and then it goes into Jesus withdrew to a boat. When Jesus heard this. Now, it doesn't fit with today's lesson, right? When Jesus heard this, he withdrew to a boat. What was it that Jesus heard? If you look at the passage right before it, the disciples had reported that his dear friend and cousin, John the Baptizer, had been beheaded. And they had gathered his bodies, John's disciples, they had gathered his body and buried him. This is why Jesus withdrew to the boat. And I think there's a beautiful lesson here. I think we're reminded that sometimes we need to withdraw just a little bit to grieve and to work through some things. Jesus was hurting in this moment. But I think there's another lesson here too, and I want us to be careful. Can you take what I'm saying and measure it carefully? Because I don't want the wrong message to be received here. Did you notice that he goes into the boat, he has a little bit of time to himself, but then he says he looks onto the crowd with compassion. The word there is splagna. It actually means to feel it in his gut. He was moved with compassion inside of his body. He had a visceral reaction to the people there that were hungry and that were following him and that wanted to hear more. And it says that he cured some of them, he healed some of them, and then he tells the disciples to get food for them. This is the message I want us to be careful about applying. Yes, we need to have time for ourselves, especially when we're grieving, especially when we're going through a difficult time. Sometimes we need to be alone or just have one or two people that mean something to us so that we can heal. But can I just add something to that? that sometimes the way that we heal is by helping other people. You know, sometimes the most difficult times in my life, I've gotten through because I had to take care of my kids. There were some things going on in my life, some challenges, but the focus in that moment couldn't be on poor Michael in that moment. It had to be loving up on my kids and providing and sustaining them. I remember with my parents, as a caretaker, a caregiver, I should say, for them in their final moments. There was a lot going on in my life at that time. Things like COVID, some military challenges that I was experiencing. And I did take some time for myself. That I make sure to do that. But sometimes what got me through those challenges was helping somebody else too. And I think we learn in this passage this balance of the compassionate shepherd to get away and care for our needs, but also that sometimes healing comes in seeing the needs of others and being available and helping others and being engaged with a community to love up on them. Amen. And I think that's a beautiful part of this picture. Now you notice that when Jesus fed all of these people, he broke the loaves and he gave the fishes. I just like to say fishes because I know my English teacher would be so frustrated with me, but it's in the Bible, so it's okay, right? As he deals with these fishes and these loaves, did you see anywhere in there an application in order to receive this food? I don't know about your passage, but I didn't see anything about, oh, what's your income? What's your denomination? What's your ethnicity? What's your occupation? Credit score? How's that doing? What part of town are you from? There was no questionnaire to sit down and get fed by Jesus. He just fed anybody and everybody that was there and that was hungry. And I think there's a beautiful message for us here. That we need to be careful about discriminating about who we love and how we care for people. Now, I know sometimes there are processes that we have to go through. I understand that. But I think there's a beautiful message that reminds us here to take care of anybody and everybody when we can. You know, today we're making those stoplight packages. I saw John. Where's John Fiore? Yeah, I saw John over there getting the tables ready. You can help volunteer afterwards to stuff those bags full of things to give to people at the stoplight. I don't know about you, but I've never asked them what their income is, what their real job is. I've never asked them, what addictions they might have. I like to just give them food.
Amen.
And that's what happened in this passage. Jesus was just taking care of the needs of people. And in this passage, he took, and John tells us a little more detail, it was this little boy's lunch. Can you imagine his story for his mom when he got home? You'll never believe what happened to me today, Mom. But he takes his lunch, and then God multiplies it. I think there's a great message for us, that when we give what we have, God takes it and uses it in an incredible way. I think of Craig and Liz, who loaned me their vehicle while I was here. What a kind thing. I was able to go visit people with that vehicle and touch other people's lives just because they gave up something of theirs to help somebody else. Ministry was multiplied. I think of the time that people give and the ways that each of you give, and God uses that to make a difference in the lives of other people. God takes what we give and he multiplies it. This must have been incredible for the disciples because one minute they're complaining, Jesus, we don't have any food. How are we going to feed all these people? To them carrying these 12 baskets. Can we get some help here? You know, I need a wheelbarrow or something. You know, they go from complaining about what they don't have to probably complaining about having too much at the end. What are we going to do with all this food? But the idea is that God takes what we have and he multiplies it and uses it when we surrender it to God. The third thing that we see in this passage that I think is a really good reminder is that God doesn't do all of the work here. Now, yes, Jesus does the miracle part. He lifts the bread, he gives the fishes out. But you notice that he gave it to the disciples, and one by one, they passed it out and probably delegated to some other people to get the crowd way in the back and to get those guys over here on the hillside and this family that was over here behind this rock or sitting on this ledge. And it became the work of everybody. These people were being the hands and feet of Jesus. And I think that's a beautiful picture of all the things that you do to serve God and to serve other people. I think of Greg and the Eucharistic visitors and the wonderful ministry they have of literally taking the bread and wine and delivering it to people in their homes or in hospitals or where they are. I think of the Eucharistic ministers that help give communion here, because if one person was doing it, we'd be here all afternoon and our roasts would burn, right? We all are the hands and feet of Jesus. And I think that's a beautiful picture that all of us are involved. Acts chapter 6, we'd later talk about that, was the role of deacons, was to make sure that people were being taken care of. We are what God uses to do the work. But there's one last thing. I just can't leave it out that's really important. I know when we get to the book of John, we'll talk all about Jesus being the bread of life, but I can't miss this opportunity. Did you notice in the passage it says, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven, blessed, and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. He raised the loaves, broke them, gave thanks, and gave them to the disciples. Doesn't that sound like what we do every Sunday morning? So I believe this passage was a fulfillment of the Hebrew scriptures of that God, through Jesus, was now the manna from heaven. But now I believe that this is a foreshadowing of Jesus himself being the very bread of life that would be distributed and given to all. And here he is breaking that bread. And what's interesting is in John chapter 6, of course, we have Jesus saying, I am the bread of life, right? This word bread is so interesting. It's the Greek word lechem, the Hebrew word lechem, which is the word from which we get Bethlehem. Beth means house. You might have seen a synagogue that says Beth David, synagogue Beth David. That's synagogue house of David. Bethlehem means house of bread. Isn't it interesting that the bread of life was born in the house of bread? And here he is giving this bread to anybody and everybody that is there. And one day after this story, after he did this, he would be that bread of life that we would partake in every Sunday together. What a beautiful fulfillment of the past, a foreshadowing of the future, and now something that weekly we participate in. Jesus, I think, is communicating with us some beautiful lessons. Number one, we need to give with compassion and love to anyone and everyone.
Yes.
Secondly, we need to make sure that when we are giving and surrendering to God, we realize that he's the one that multiplies. We plant the seeds, but God is the one who waters. We have to realize that the work isn't done at just saying, God, use me. Then we have to find ways to be his hands and feet, to be those instruments and tools of his service, all the while remembering that God is the one who is our bread of life, who sustains us, and who we in love give to everyone else. What will the feeding of others and compassion look like in your life? What gifts do you have that you can offer to God for him to multiply as you serve him? Maybe it's in church. Maybe it's in your home with your family. Maybe it's in your community. What will serving the bread of life look like for those around you and whom you love? Amen.
Amen.